Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus then said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been in bondage to anyone. How is it that you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not continue in the house forever. The Son continues forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Seated. Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who makes us free. Amen. Might it be fair to say that all wars and maybe all conflict happens because each side is so certain that they hold the truth? Israel and Palestine, each are completely convinced. They know that the truth is that this holy land over which they've been warring for centuries belongs to them. Democrats and Republicans, each side, we always choose sides, each side knows that the way that they perceive our nation and her laws and her values is the truth. And the other side is either stupid or evil. They either can't see the truth, or they see the truth and they won't live it out. How about the generations? Each generation looks at the other one kind of with disbelief at what they hold important and valuable. And we know that what we think is true about money and tattoos and video games and work and family and time, that's the truth. The church. We know the right way to worship in truth. We're certain that the truth is that praise bands are just performers and they're not actually worship leaders. Or we know that the truth is that traditional liturgical worship is really not what people want or need anymore. So, thanks be to God for the words of Jesus today. Thanks be to God that every single one of us gets to hear the actual truth. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And here, we get to go back to the beginning of the Gospel of John and dwell in what is perhaps the most beautiful part of the Gospel of John, what we call the prologue, the first 14 verses. It's a description of where this Jesus of Nazareth, where this Son of God has come from. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And a few verses later, And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. So in the beginning was the Word. Jesus is the Word. God's word of love to all creation is Jesus. So when Jesus tells people, continue in my word, logos, it's the same word in Greek that we're all the way along, continue in my word, he's saying, continue in me, abide in me. Life in me, getting to know me, is what will reveal the truth to you, and that will make you free. Free from the conviction of the law. Not the importance of the law. The law is important and it is from God. But it will not save you. Love will save you. So you are set free from trying to keep the law in order to earn your salvation. You see, the truth is a promise. It's a covenant, as our Jeremiah text said today. It's a new kind of covenant. In Jeremiah, God says, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The truth that makes us free is a promise. And Martin Luther created an image of that promise. It's right here, but it's also in your bulletin. I created a little JPEG, a little picture that I had printed for you that has his seal, his rose seal, and a letter he had written to a friend who had said, tell me about your seal. And the letter describes what each part of the image means. He says, this is the summation of my theology. It's a visual summation of my theology. So I created that for you. If you want to take it home, that's great. So Luther said, the center of any image of that is going to represent our faith, it has to be a cross. And he said, let's make it a black cross. Because the center of who we are, the center of our faith, the center of our lives, is the cross of Christ, where God is revealed as a God of love and forgiveness in the midst of pain. The symbol of our salvation is the cross of Christ, and that cross is wrapped up in a heart. Because this faith thing happens in your heart. The salvation and the love of Christ, it's a heart thing. It manifests itself in our hands and feet and mouths and checkbooks. But it's a heart thing. You are saved by grace through faith alone, he said. And that heart-wrapped cross is wrapped in a white rose, because this faith in the one who saves us on the cross brings joy and comfort and peace. And it's got to be white, he says, because that's the color of the saints. And in our baptism, we are joined forever to the full complement of believers, living or dead. And that white rose-wrapped, heart-wrapped cross is wrapped in a sky of blue, he says, because this life of faith, this one we're living right now, is the beginning of our eternal life in heaven with God. And that sky of blue wrapped, white rose wrapped, heart wrapped cross is bound by a ring of gold, because this whole thing is a promise. And life with God is eternal and there is no end. So Luther's rose is a symbol of his theology. It's the depiction of the way he understands God and God's saving action through Jesus. And it's all one giant promise that God will be our God and we will be God's people. And there is no power on earth or in heaven which can dissolve or break this promise. It's astonishing. The promise that though we are mired in sin and cannot free ourselves, that we have come to know the truth, and He has set us free. I would invite you to turn to hymn number 504 and stand with your Lutheran voice and sing the truth of your freedom in Christ.